Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Now we are at the interview part of the show, and you know, we do a lot of authors, and now I'm also bringing in some publishers. So it's an interesting business, especially with Amazon and online and all of those things going on. So we've got a special publisher, and it's called Rattling Good Yarns Press. And we are talking to the creator and the person that runs it, Ian Hensel. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
So let's start out at the beginning. How did you get involved in doing a publishing company? Like, what brought you to that?
Oh, gosh. Well, it sort of starts 47 years ago or so when I was getting out of college, and I had a choice of two jobs. One was with a publishing company, and one was with a travel-related company. And this is back in the late 70s. The travel-related job, the take-home pay was $5 more a week, which was $20 a month, a lot back in about 1978. And I went down that path, always wondering what would have happened had I gone down the publishing path. And so I ended up in a job focused on marketing technology and software development, and that was my career for about 42 years. And I retired, and my husband is an author, and I was sort of dissatisfied with the way he was being treated by publishers, particularly in collecting royalties and the spotty payment of royalties. So I decided to take the plunge and start my own publishing company. And that's what gave birth to Rattling Good Yarns about 18 months ago.
Well, you know, I understand that. I've had books published by different publishers, and some are good and some are not so good or really awful. But so how are you going to take that on in the sense that not only is there the accounting part of it and that, but you've got to bring on people that write, authors, and you have to take a chance. You also have to have some sort of printing and distribution and marketing and all that. How did you get all that together?
Well, you know, it was a lot of learning the ropes as I went along. So I started with we started with my husband's works, which are both fiction and nonfiction. And we've been branching out into other authors. And oddly enough, they're finding us. I don't usually take general submissions. There has to be more of an introduction. But we are coming out with books this year by three authors. Actually, four. We came out with our first book that my husband was not involved in at all. We came out with a book called Paper Cuts, My Life in the Volatile LGBTQ Press in Chicago, and that was by author Rick Carlin. And that was our first, or my first foray. And it was an interesting, he spent over 30 years in the LGBTQ press in Chicago from its very early days, when it was really rough and tumble, to becoming a more mature, very competitive press. And so we brought that out, and other authors have been finding us. So there is no shortage of good authors and good work, but we are very selective.
Now, so what is the primary focus of your publishing company? Like, do you look for a particular type of book? Does it have to be true or nonfiction or fiction? Do you have a specialty?
No, we publish both fiction and nonfiction. We have a history book out called Out of the Underground, and that's the history of the LGBTQ movement in the radical underground press. So we have that out. We brought that out last year. But we also have fiction. The only commonality is it has to be either LGBTQ focused or an LGBTQ author. That's the only requirement. And of course that it's a quality work that has something to say, something new to say.
So do you think that these are books that perhaps the mainstream publishing industry would have shied away from due to their content?
That's a very interesting question, yes. I think, you know, so our mission statement is, it's very short and succinct, that we bring overlooked LGBTQ voices to light. I think there's a lot that's overlooked because, quite honestly, and I certainly understand that, I come from a marketing background. I spent 42 years in marketing. You're looking for, you know, market and being able to recoup costs. We're very small. We have very low overhead. So I'm able to take, I think, a bit more risk. So I think many of our books are overlooked by mainstream authors. And as a matter of fact, one of our new titles that's coming out this year is by a very well-respected, award-winning author, Philip Gamboni. And he came to us with a book called As Far As I Can Tell, Finding My Father in World War II. And it was very interesting because he's been published, he's well-known, but the book explores his journey in trying to understand his father better by following his father's footsteps and his journey through World War II. And that starts from when he left Ohio for a boot camp across the United States and then into Europe. And mainstream publishers just didn't see where it fit. They thought it didn't fit, you know, it didn't quite fit World War II history. It didn't quite fit memoir. It didn't quite fit gay nonfiction. And however, it made complete sense to me because, you know, as a gay man, we sometimes have difficult relationships with our fathers. And my father was in World War II, never spoke about the war, as Philip Gamboni's father never spoke about the war. So there's this whole aspect of who our fathers were as men that we never got a real sense of. We never really shared much in common with them. So Phil's journey through the United States and Europe to follow in his father's footsteps, I thought that was a very important work to bring to light.
Or are you worried about being labeled as a just a gay press?
No, not at all. If anything, you know, that's what we are, you know, and it's in our mission statement. So, no, that doesn't worry me at all.
Interesting. It's an interesting idea. So I'm just trying to think what it is in you look for in a book. So the subject doesn't have to be about being gay in itself.
No, it doesn't. We have a new book of short stories coming out in October called Foreign Affairs, Male Tales of Lust and Love by Daniel M. Jaffe, another award-winning author. And the short stories are, the commonality is male sexuality. And traveling around the world, and not all the stories are the main characters gay. In some of the stories, some of the characters are straight. But again, it brings, I think, a fresh view and a fresh perspective.
Jeez, how do you think things are going right now? Like, you know, when we've got the COVID-19 and all these issues right now, do you find that book sales are down or struggling a little bit?
You know, I think so. I think people are really concerned about their budgets right now. And so they're not necessarily spending money. They certainly don't have a book acquisition on their minds. We are still selling books. We're still doing well. But I think this is just, I think sales in general are down, and, you know, books certainly go along with that.
It's interesting. So now how do you choose a book then? Like an author or a book, and how do you do it if you're not really taking general submissions?
Well, usually we're introduced to an author. Or the author's introduced to us, you know, and we'll read a sample of their work and then, decide if it's something that fits, if it's something that fits with our mission for us to bring out. There are things that we do turn down because they don't quite fit. They don't make sense with our collection. I kind of refer to us as the Rattling Good Yarns family, because we maintain very tight collaboration with our authors. Again, I consider us a very author-centric publishing house. And so I kind of go by what I did in my marketing career, which things were very relationship-driven. You know, you develop a relationship, and out of that you develop trust, and you understand who it is you're dealing with and what they have to say. And I think I've brought that into publishing. I often say, you know, I didn't grow up in publishing, so I don't know what I don't know. So I do things the way I think they should be done. And so far that seems to be working.
I just wonder, how do you feel about the publishing market now and the way of the world with Amazon now and all of the e-books and online sort of world, and there's a lot of people self-publishing. What do you think? What's your overall view of publishing now?
Well, I think you just have to grow and adapt. You know, the world changes. You know, I spent my career 42 years in technology, so I've seen a lot of change in my life. And you just have to kind of see where things are going. We do bring out Kindle editions of our books. That's the only e-version we bring out. So I view Amazon as a channel rather than as a competitor. Certainly it's easier to bring out books, but I think, you know, I think end of the day, you have to be priced competitively. You've got to have the subject matter that people are interested in, and you just have to adapt to the market.
So what's your favorite book that you've published? Puts you on the spot.
Oh, gosh.
Well, let's talk about some of them. Like what? So you have the memoir of a Groucho Marxist. I'm just losing it today. So what is that about?
That is actually my husband's fictionalized memoir about growing up in England, post-war England. And while there is a very heavy grain of truth in it, it also goes into a bit of fantasy or what was going on in his head. So I think that's a very amusing read. I'm also particularly proud of our Tell Me About It series, which is nonfiction. So my husband, Saint Suki Delacroix, and another author, Owen Keenan, they're both historians, they set about to ask LGBTQ people around the world a set of 10 simple questions. And what was remarkable about it is, although people are separated by age, by the decades, you know, grew up in different times, grew up in different geographies, how common the experience is around the world. We have two Tell Me About It books out, and we're soon coming out with Tell Me About It 3, where they asked new questions that weren't in the previous book. So I'm particularly proud about that because, you know, you don't often get to read the history of everyday people. Everyday people don't get to tell their stories. Famous people get to tell their stories. Celebrities get to tell their stories. But we're all out there, and we all have stories to tell. And what I'm proud about the Tell Me About It series is it gives voice to everyday people. And again, as I said, it also shows that what I find completely remarkable is how someone...
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
one growing up in a country that might have had a dictatorship had the same experience as someone growing up in the United States. So we're very, I'm very proud of that series.
How do you go about picking the people that you're going to talk, you know, and tell me about, like country wise and people wise? What's the process there?
We put out a call through social media, various internet channels, asking for people to be interviewed. Owen Keenan and Saint Suki Delacroix either interview them over the phone, in person, or via email.
Wow, it's pretty interesting, and you get a pretty good response from that.
Oh yes, we get an extremely good response, and we keep trying to expand the reach of the people who are interviewed.
Pretty amazing. Now, are you guys venturing into audio books as well?
You know, I've thought about it, but not at this point in time. I don't feel quite ready for audiobooks yet.
It's the only way I go now.
Yeah. Well, would you like me to read to you at night? I could phone you up and read out.
Yeah, no, it's just, you know, for me, because I had cataract surgery and my eyes aren't what they were, so now I'm listening to a lot of books, more so than reading, just easier.
There's a whole production quality that becomes very necessary. You know, you have to have a good narrator, you have to have good production quality, and I'm very proud of our book layout, our book design. We keep improving, and I think we keep getting better and better. I'm going to focus on print and ebooks right now. I don't rule out audiobooks, but I just don't think that would just, I think, take away some of our attention at this time.
Yeah. So how do you see yourself in the publishing world? How do you think that the as a gay publisher, you are represented or thought of, and is there a struggle in the book world as far as being a gay publisher?
Gay publishers are disappearing. Gay bookstores are disappearing. You know, as we go more and more mainstream, you know, there are some that are dropping by the wayside. We're the new kids on the block. I think that 2020 is going to be our year because we've expanded our list of authors. We have some very well-respected authors. I think word is getting around in the author community about us. And, you know, I think we're the guys on the block to watch.
How do you feel about gay rights and the gay communities now under Trump, let's just say it, you know, and under the current administration now? And what do you think that's going to turn into?
I'm alarmed. I think our rights are in jeopardy. I think the court appointments indicate where the courts are being stacked. I think we need to remain vigilant, but I don't think that's only gay people. You know, I think that it's minorities across the board, and I think there's a divide and conquer approach being taken. You know, so long as they keep us fighting with each other, they keep us from focusing on the real threats. So I'm also Jewish, and there's a severe rise of anti-Semitism. The past 12 months, there's been more anti-Semitic incidents than there were in past years since these have been recorded, I think, going back into the mid-70s. So I think it's across the board. I think we see minorities being attacked. And I don't think there's any room for complacency.
So now's the time to act.
Those are my feelings. You know, but then again, I was brought up in the shadow of the Holocaust. And I grew up in Brooklyn. And it was very common for me to go to, you know, go out, you know, my mother when I was little taking me out shopping to the bakery and the butcher and all that. It was very common for people behind the counter to have tattooed numbers on their foreheads, on their forearms, you know. So I grew up with concentration camp survivors all around me, and I grew up in the shadow of Nazi Germany, although I was in Brooklyn. And with the idea that it can certainly happen again. So maybe that's my unique perspective on this. But, yeah, I'm extremely concerned.
Yeah, certainly interesting. How do you feel about the COVID-19 and everything? How's that been going for you? Has it been a real harmful thing for you, or a real stressful in your life?
No, you know, we've had to, we're both older men. We fit the, you know, the demographic for, you know, men in their 60s at risk. So we've taken precautions. It's interesting. I am energized. I'm very gregarious, and I'm energized by social interaction. My husband, Saint Suki Delacroix, tends to be more of a solitary person. So I feel, you know, I'm inspired by meeting people, talking to people. So I feel a bit of deprivation there. Ironically, I don't think I've ever been this productive. I'm way more productive than I've been before. I just miss people. But you know, I've also started doing Zoom calls with friends, have a weekly, what I call weekly beer bust with friends. You know, we get on Zoom and we socialize. But I can't wait for this to be over.
Yeah, we're all pretty much in that same boat. If you wanted to explain how non-LGBTQ folks could access your works, what would be a great place for people to start?
Which books might be a good one to start with? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I would start with, I think, Memoir of a Groucho Marxist. I've had very good feedback from non-LGBTQ people. As a matter of fact, someone we know told us that he needed another copy because his sister stole his copy. So I think that's a very accessible place to start. I think that the Tell Me About It series is very interesting because you don't have to read it cover to cover. You know, you can flip through it. There are each of the questions and then the responses. So that is a great book to read, and it doesn't have to be sequential.
Fair
enough. And I think you get a good, perspective. I think those are two very good places to start.
Awesome.
I think some of the books we're coming out with, Foreign Affairs, Male Tales of Lust and Love, that won't be out till October. That's a great collection of short stories. It's a very literary collection of short stories. And again, it's not exclusively gay-focused. It covers a wide range of male sexuality. And I think the Philip Gamboni book, as far as I can tell, Finding My Father in World War II, which will also be coming out this fall, would be another great book to start with.
So yeah. Where do you want to take, where do you see the publishing going? Like, where do you see it in 5 years?
Oh, you know, I see. We're going to have Harry Potter. You know, J.K. Rowling is going to phone me up any day now.
Do Harry Palmer.
Harry Palmer, yeah. Nice.
That's my dragon.
You know, I see us expanding our set of authors. I would like to have audiobooks out eventually. I kind of take it little by little. You know, I'd like to see us have some award-winning titles out and just continue to grow the publishing house.
So now we get to the real question. What's it like to be married to an author?
Well, we've been together for 32 years. Married for about... We came out to California to get married in 2008 when it was first legal. So we've been married, at least in California, since... As a matter of fact, let me digress for a minute. When we moved from Chicago to the Palm Springs area, and we flew out and we landed in... At that time, gay marriage, same-sex marriage, was not legal in Illinois. We landed... so this is about 6 years ago. We landed in LAX. We got off the plane. I said to my husband, "Now we can get divorced." Because it wasn't legal in Illinois, so therefore we couldn't get divorced, and we weren't resident in California, so we couldn't get divorced here. At any rate, what's it like being married to an author? Gosh, I often say that I am the Leonard Wolf to his Virginia Woolf. I don't know if you know, Virginia Woolf was very temperamental, and Leonard Woolf her work. And I often say that I'm Leonard Woolf drowning in a sea of Virginias. It's interesting, you know, because creative people can be temperamental in their own way and very sensitive. And the more authors I deal with, the more I see that, you know, coming from a corporate world where, of course, you have to be sensitive to people's feelings. It's not as close to the ego as it is with writers, where each book they've basically given birth. So one has to find ways to be diplomatic.
You know, when people go out and buy your books that you've published, in the back of your mind, you have some sort of hope or some sort of thing that you'd want them to get out of the books that you publish?
Each one would be different. What I want them to get in general is that they are getting stories that they're not going to get from other publishers. Again, I come back to that we give voice to overlooked voices. I think even within the gay press, there are books that don't quite fit the mold. And so from Rattling Good Yarns, that they're going to get something different and totally unique.
Okay. Now, so how do people find your books? What's your website or contact information so that you can so people can get a hold of you?
Well, they can get our books from our online bookstore, and that's rattlinggoodyarns.com. Our books are also available through booksellers everywhere. So if a bookstore doesn't have our books, they can be ordered. We're available through all book distributors. We're also available on Amazon.com and as well as the Kindle editions for our books.
Well, fantastic. It's been great listening to you about the publishing world a little bit. We will have your website linked to ours as well, so people listening can do one click and check out the books and and see if there's something they'd want to get.
And we are running a sale now, 20% until May 18th, our Stay In and Read sale. We're running 20% off on all of our titles.
Wow. There you go.
For free shipping in the U.S.
Wow. What more could you ask? Okay.
We do everything short of paying you to take the books. No, I'm not kidding.
Well, there you go. That's it. Thank you very much. Our guest has been the publisher, Ian Hensel. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ian.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.